Hey everyone, this is a content warning. Our show contains frank discussion of addiction, mental illness, and trauma.
That means we'll likely delve into issues such as self-harm, physical and sexual abuse, and even suicidal ideation.
This is your one and only trigger warning. And remember,
we are not doctors. So if you need help, please seek it out.
You load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Fucking moveon.com. Is it moveon.org? Change.org.
No, there's a moveon.org. Is there a moveon.org?
I think it's moveon.org. .org. I don't care. I don't fucking care. Whatever, man. I'm fine. Are you fine? I'm fine.
I'm actually fine. I'm actually really fine. If you want to know, I'm doing fine. The major stressor that I was stressing and major stressly about, has moved on, has cleared up. I'm not being white peopled anymore out of my apartment. And so that's exactly. That's excellent.
That's got to feel good.
I mean, I wish that we didn't have to go through the fucking
what led to it or what all that.
Yeah, all the whole month of stress and my trauma being brought back up and triggering me to drink again. And yeah, I really wish none of that happened. The outcome is what I wanted.
Yeah.
So that's great. That's good. But Jesus fucking shit, man.
Seriously. Is that a Bible verse?
If it isn't, it should be. Jesus,
Jesus fucking shit. Jesus fucking shit, man.
Hell yeah. I feel like God has to have to curse. I feel like Jesus is probably cursed. Jesus flipped tables.
I know. That's like one of the most dopest stories about him. It's just like, yeah, fuck this shit. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, the Bible tells you, it says, what should I do if a woman is a prostitute? What should I do
pluck
if a woman is stressed?
Pluck your fucking eyes out.
It says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck your fucking eye out. You can't control your hand. Your hand just did it. The Bible says, cut your fucking hand off. It's not this bitch's problem. It's your problem. You're the Christian. You cut your fucking eye out. If your eyes cause you to sin, you live in a sinful world. That's what the Bible is all about. You live in a sinful world. You're the one who's supposed to be righteous.
That's fair. I get that.
Yeah, really.
So what are you smoking? It sounds, what a weird lead up. I mean, I guess it's kind of the perfect lead up to what are you smoking? What are you smoking? What are you on, man?
What are you on, man? I'm on the Slurricane. Slurricane is back, I guess, in season? I don't know, man. I love Slurricane. It's like sweet and spicy and berries. The little buds look like little berries. It's the flavor is all like berries.
I like that.
Yeah, it's an indica dominant hybrid. You know I love my indicas, but I think the Slurricane is perfect with the 60-40. 60% indica, 40% sativa. So it really gives me...
That's just vibing.
No, that's a potent body high and a really good head high. I don't feel locked to the couch, but I feel it hard. And these little fluffy grape size, little dark green nut. I love it. It's a mix between Do-Si-Do, which is the one of the Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, big fan of that.
Yeah, it's one of the Girl Scout cookies, Do-Si-Do. So it's a cross of the Do-Si-Do and Purple Punch. I believe I've had Purple Punch. I don't really know. But the THC level in this bad boy is anywhere from 20 to 28%.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So get ready for that body high. Get ready for that head high. Cerebral, uplifting. And then when you start to come down to earth, have your snacks nearby. It's slurricane season, baby.
Slurricane!
What you got?
You know, my green crack. Dude, there's this place in Castle Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And not Castle Rock, Washington, I should say. Not like Stephen King's Castle Rock. But like there's a weed store that I went to, and they had like $10 dabs. Weed is so affordable here.
That might be,
you know.
But there's nothing else there. That's right. Okay.
I am in the middle of nowhere. I did have to drive like 30 minutes to the weed store.
Okay. You see,
that's kind of, yeah, that's the world I'm in right now. And it's fine for COVID, I guess. But, yeah, real life, it's kind of like when I went to sushi with my friend from like elementary school today, we went to a really good place, but like it was like 40 minutes to get there. And that's like 40 minutes to get to my hometown
in a car
to my hometown.
And
that's the place I wanted to escape from. So now I'm like going there. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
I'm just clarifying.
There's no trains. There's no public transportation.
I'm just clarifying for our listeners.
Yeah. No skateboard, you know, no little scooter.
None of that.
No fucking rocket ship.
None of that.
Car. Yeah, no, it was good, but it was just like everything's so far away. And I was thinking, oh, you know, maybe if things open up, I can go down and do like, you know, an open mic in Portland. But then I started like thinking about how long it takes to get to Portland. But then it takes an hour and a half to get to Seattle. It's an hour and a half to get to Portland. And it's like, God damn it. There's nothing fucking here. But we've been watching Breaking Bad.
Ooh.
Oh, my mom's into it. Oh, dude. Ding Ding just blew up the room. So I'm like that. We're already in the final season. Like she's been loving this fucking new TV options. Like for sure. She's like, what is this world?
Well, you know, that's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten to see Walt White go crazy all over again. And now I get to see Jesse's redemption all over again. And, you know, red demi dem dem Jesse.
My problem with that show is just like, it was so stress inducing. You seen, Uncut Gems?
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah.
You said that was pretty rough on you.
Stress inducing. So Uncut Gems was for me, like all of Breaking Bad in 2 hours. I just was like, no, stop. Like no one knows when to quit. No one knows when to give up. No one knows when to quit. It's just like crazy thing after the next. And it's just like so unnecessary. I get it. It's for the show value, but I was stressed.
Yeah. But it's nice to see Adam Sandler doing something other than, you know, farting out of his armpit.
I kind of, after that movie, I was like, more farting out of the armpit. That was too stressful.
I like some Adam Sandler. Like Happy Gilmore has to be like, that's my sick movie. I put Happy Gilmore in. I love that movie. I know it by fucking heart. That movie's so fucking funny. And I love Billy Madison. Like, you know, yeah. There are of course parts that, you know, have not aged well because that's how comedy is. But like, as far as like, they're not even guilty pleasures. I'm not guilty about it. But some of the shit Adam's done is like, I get it. You're just making money.
Yeah.
You're just making money. Please give some to me.
No, he's not.
Please, Adam. So yeah, I'm smoking green crack.
Yeah, green crack. That's Snoop Dogg's strain.
$10 dabs at this dab store. Oh, that's where I got. This is, dude, how fucking, it's like a roadmap to get to.
I'm jealous of $10 dabs. Another.
$10 dabs. And then my friend I was with today was saying, oh, you know, down the street, that place is doing $5 dabs on Fridays.
Get out of here. Like, what the fuck?
And I'm talking like $5 for a gram.
Get out of here.
That's what I'm trying to say. I didn't even buy it because I'm like, I'm stocked, actually. I actually need a little more flour more than anything. But
I got to get out to the West Coast because it's not like that.
Knowing that it's $5, $10 when it's like $12, $15 where I live. I mean, hey. Yeah. I mean, it was legal here first. So I feel like things will, even out and change a little bit after time goes by. I think, wasn't Washington one of the first legal states? It was Washington and Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And before then, like, they looked the other way anyway. They looked the other way for weed all the time at the Pacific Northwest and in San Francisco. Well, at least they used to. Moving to New York was a big culture shock.
Oh, yeah. Tell me.
You were like one of the few people I know that even smoked or even smoked like I do, which is you don't stop.
I'll take a nap.
Yeah. But like, yeah, we're kind of a rare bird out in New York. And so it's kind of exciting to see what's going to happen with legalization in New York and see if people kind of, you don't have to drive, you know, like I get it. That's probably why that's people are so drunk part. All the time. But yeah,
that's the best part is not driving, bitch.
Dude, I get it. But I do like driving sometimes. I do. It's a way to get out of the house. It's an extra room.
I've been able to get back on my scooter a little bit.
Yes. So. Scooter stories. Beep, beep.
Yeah, I've been able to get back on my scooter.
Do you have a little honking horn?
Nah, it's a little bell.
Yeah, baby! Like Breaking Bad?
Yeah, leave me
alone.
Are
you like Hector Salamanca? Tick, tick, ding, ding.
It's a bell.
Ding, 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 ding.
Come on, yo.
Ring that
respect
bell.
Respect
my bell?
Respect my bell.
Respect my bell.
All right, you gotta move out of the way when you hear my bell, because my
bitch
bell
don't
is
kill
coming.
My bell, bitch, yeah. Don't kill my bell. My respect bell. My well, that's actually another thing.
Respect my scooty scoot.
Respect
when I
my scooty
slide
scoot.
Through.
Scoop dog.
When I slide through. Scoop
dog.
Scoop dog.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is.
That's green crack is good, man. Green crack is really. Green crack is really good when you for anxiety and depression. So if you're feeling fucking down, it is. It's a sativa, man. It's so sativa. I've talked about it on the show before, but if this is your first episode, I'm a sativa girl. I'm a sativa girl.
In a indica world.
I'm glad that I'm able to find. Sativa like liquid and like dabs, because it's like, I don't know, it's just maybe people buy a lot more of non, they like the hybrids, they like the, you know, indicas, but
I love the hybrids.
Yeah, hybrids are fine. Like I've been switching to hybrids. I switch to hybrids at night.
Yeah,
that's like my nighttime bowl.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that way my brain can kind of try to stop. That and video games. That's basically how I go to bed. And my headphones. I have headphones. I'm all sensory. Fuck. Then I got my fucking projector of the fucking cosmos on top of that. Dude. Yeah. When did this happen?
You're spaced out, Corey.
You know, I used to be the type of person that would have to go to bed with a sleep mask, earplugs. All of that, I'd have to have, like, I'd always go to bed with a fucking sleep mask so I couldn't see the, like, I was very picky about it. No sound. I didn't want any sound. I still can't sleep to music.
No, I can never sleep to music. I hate that. I don't know who can sleep. I can sleep to the TV. Can't sleep to music.
Same. I sleep to podcasts.
I can sleep to a podcast. Yeah, I can't sleep to music. It's something about it being rhythmic.
Yeah. And as soon as I'm listening to a podcast, I'm going to bed, like I got my little sleepy headphones on, which is like, you know, they're like fabric. Mm. And I put those on and then it's good because I'm just hearing people fucking talk. But then there's a fucking commercial break and then it's like, I'm like, fuck.
Fuck like, you.
I'm awake again, motherfucker. Anyway, green crack dab. If you want to forget how you've had a complete conversation, green crack dab.
How? Well, tell me, Corey, where can people get more of this? More of us? More of this?
Where can they get more of this? On our Patreon. patreon.com/cinderblock. Won't be a festival anytime soon, but you can support Cinderblock projects. Just $5 a month and you can hear some other bullshit that we talk about. And yeah, please help.
You should do that.
It'd be nice.
Please help. You sound like fucking Jeb Bush.
You guys gave me a microphone stand with Patreon money. So thank you so much. I have a new microphone stand that I can use portably. And so wherever I go, so is the podcast. So thank you.
So is podcast. You sound like Jeb Bush. Please clap.
Please microphone.
Please. Please microphone us.
Please Patreon us. Oh, boy. And today's topic is I wanted to talk about quitting. I want to talk about quitting.
Wait, are you quitting the podcast?
No. Oh, fuck. I want to talk about quitting.
Are you quitting the podcast?
No. I want to talk about quitting for mental health and when to know when it's time in your professional life.
To wrap that shit up.
When you know shit is just beyond repair. Knowing when to call quits and you know, this is Simone Biles shit. It's like people fucking, you know, some people know when to quit. And it's actually a tool that you can hone. You can start to kind of look and see in your own life and see, oh shit, it's not only just about hating your job. Have you quit for mental health reasons before?
Me?
Yes.
Have I quit for mental health reasons? A job or something? No, I'm here.
Who else is here? Who else?
Sorry, I don't know who I. Sorry. Elsa. No. Elsa. Yes. I have quit a job for mental health reasons.
All right. How was that? What was that like?
I mean, fucking liberating. I quit. I was working for this company, and we would sometimes set up booths in different places. And the booth we set up at was the Cyclones, Brooklyn Cyclones.
Okay.
I had complained about my boss several times previous that he was not, you know, acting like a boss.
Yeah.
And so I said something and they were like, yeah, we'd look into it. But of course, nobody looks into it. So one of my last days there, he disappears from the rest of, you know, the group, the rest of us who are working with him. And as I'm leaving, I see him in the fucking stadium beer garden. So I took some pictures of him in the fucking beer garden. And then I quit the next day. I went into the place to let them know that I fucking quit and fuck this guy. And I said something previous and y'all didn't do shit. So, bitch, I'm out.
That's really smart. That's really smart.
I mean, I felt like no one was hearing me or my complaints. Everybody on my level was complaining mm-hmm. about this guy. And then one of the last days I work, he just straight up dis-a-fucking-peers to go to the beer garden. We would sometimes do movie theaters. And I remember one time he disappeared for a while. I had no clue where he went. He disappeared for a while. He came back and he was talking about the Power Rangers movie. And I was like, oh, yeah, when did you see the Power Rangers movie? He was like, oh, just now.
Oh, motherfucker.
Is that where you've been? Instead of helping and supervising? And it's also not that I need his supervision or whatever, but he was
also. If I have to do my job, you do your fucking job.
Yeah. If I have to do my job, you have to do your job, and you're awful in other ways where I don't even feel like covering for you.
Yeah.
And it just seeing how he tried to like railroad people and like how he would try to come at me, but you can't come at me crazy, nigga. I tried to make stuff. I mean, I didn't say that. We had some awkward text messages back. Like I had quit. And I had already been quit for like a whole week or whatever. And then he was like texting me my schedule or some shit, or texting me texted me his schedule changed, because that's the thing. He would do coke and be up at like 2-3 in the morning. And so the schedule would look like one thing when I was going to sleep, but then like another thing in the morning. And suddenly, like, I got to switch my whole life around first thing in the morning or whatever, and maybe be at work. But it's our job to check the schedule every single morning. Why I gotta check the schedule every single morning? Set the schedule and let the schedule be the schedule.
Yeah, that's what a schedule is supposed to be. It's supposed exactly to be, like, if you're an on-call employee, that's one thing.
What? Yeah, exactly. What are you doing changing it in the middle of the night, and then it's my fault when I don't show up? So there was shit like that, and it was just like fucking with my psyche. Like, I was like, yo, is anybody else seeing this?
Yeah. And so, nobody was, everybody's like, do. Anybody who could do anything.
Anybody who could do anything. And the younger people I worked with, they were younger people talking about, he was like threatening their bonuses. And I'm like, well, if you earn X amount of shit, he cannot threaten your bonus. So I don't know.
Right. You earn it. You can't take it away.
Yeah, you earn it. It's already through the company. He can't touch it at all. What is he talking about?
He's trying to throw his dick around.
Exactly. So it was a stressful 6 months, to say the least.
Wow.
We had a couple of standoffs and shit, because after a while, people just let me work on my own. But there would still be times where I gotta like interact with him. So just because I'm working on my own, don't mean it ain't still fuck this nigga.
That's really stressful. Like, I can only imagine. I hate anyone changing my schedule without telling me. That, like, how does that make any fucking sense? It's, wow.
And I mean, you gotta know when to quit. And I was making good money at this job too, because I'm a good salesperson. You know, we used to work together.
I know.
So, you know, I'm a good salesperson. I was actually really good at this difficult sales job, and I was like making top dollar. But homeboy is making my life miserable.
Yeah, and there's no reason to, except for just to fucking feel your own dick and see how hard it is, and like, yeah, look how fucking important I am.
I gotta wake up extra early in the morning to check the schedule just to make sure he ain't did nothing weird in the middle of the night.
Because otherwise you're in fucking trouble. Fun. What a fun, fun job.
Yes. I had, so for my mental health.
Yeah, I used to work at this company. I was working in staffing, and I couldn't get a promotion because they kept firing my replacements. And I was like, oh, I'll show you guys. I'll leave. I'll go to another place. It's going to pay me a lot more. And as hellish as the last place was, this was so much more worse, because I was working as a payroll. I was working as a payroll coordinator, and I was under one person. And we did all the time cards for all the temps in New York and California.
So that already sounds like too much.
And there's deadlines.
That already sounds like too much.
All sorts of stuff, right? So I'm just like, okay, I'm getting paid more than I've ever been paid. And I'm just like, okay, well, I guess I'll just take some of this fucking brunt, because that's what you get for taking a job, you know, of this caliber, of this this amount of money. This is what this must be, you know, the harder you work, the more you make. Anyway, the lady that I worked under had been on with the company for like 13 years, right? She's only like a year older than me, but she was already a grandma. No hate on that. There's several of my friends that are in that situation. The problem was, is that she treated me like a child when I was basically her age, just like a year younger. And she had this ego for being the only one who knew really how to do her job.
Yeah.
And so therefore, if what they were trying to train me for was, because she's lost all these assistants, she's lost all these payroll coordinators, all these people quit, wonder why. And then they get me in there and they're like, okay, so she's going to go on vacation in 2 months, and we need you to get you up to speed so you can process all the payroll. And I was like, okay. It was such an overwhelming job. And she had a way, like 13 years. I mean, I'm sure she had her shortcuts, but she didn't teach them to me. And I, of course, don't take specific direction well. It's a fucking dumb part of ADHD where it's like, I have to make my own different ways of making sure I do my job correctly. And that could be anywhere from having my own private spreadsheets, some sort of tracking system to make sure I'm doing my job correctly. But that's just for me. And she'd see things like that and it would piss her off. And so she started having some of the employees spying on me. And they came to me and said, by the way, you know, she told me to, that it was the receptionist who I'm actually still like Facebook friends with. She came up to me and was like, by the way, she's asking me what time you leave every day. And I'm like, but I leave late. I come in fucking early. I leave fucking late. I don't take fucking lunches. I work my fucking ass off and I still can't do her job. And when it came time for, by the time it got to just her ridiculing me and just, I mean, I got so sick to my stomach. And my body just started shutting down and I just became really fucking angry and sad and tired.
Nothing's worth that. And I think our generation, millennials, Gen X, Gen Z, I think we're kind of like the first few generations to really embrace that. Like you will not kill me for this fucking paycheck.
No, it's not. It never winds up being worth it. And I think a lot of this came about in the pandemic when people learned that their jobs could be done from home. Yeah. A lot of people learned that they could save the time, their commute, they could spend more time with their families or their pets or whatever. And you know, I think for a lot of people, they were like, oh, shit, why do I need to be in the office? Oh, so they can fucking supervise me.
They can, yep, micromanage me.
And that is probably the worst part about being at a job. And, you know, they always say people don't quit jobs. They quit bosses. And a boss can ruin, a culture can ruin a dream job.
They quit, people quit cultures.
Exactly. So knowing this, this is why we're seeing a mass, like, massive waves of people quitting their jobs and fast food workers who are just like, fuck this, I'm out, this ain't worth it, people are yelling at me, you know, like shit like that. And
you gotta know when to quit. You gotta know when it's not in your spirit no more, right? So like you brought up Simone Biles earlier.
Yes.
And like
she was getting the twisties, which is a mental, like it's a mental thing. She's not, her body isn't there.
Yeah, I mean, and we can all, in a way, understand that when sometimes you know what to do, you know how to do it, but it just don't
click. It's not happening, and you don't know why.
And you don't know why, you're in your head, whatever, you can't get out of your head, whatever the case may be.
Maybe you didn't sleep well because you're too stressed out and your cognitive function's fucked.
Maybe I didn't sleep well because I'm too stressed out because people keep critiquing my body and every fucking move I make, mm-hmm. you know? And guess what? She don't owe us a goddamn thing. People are like, no. You let America down. You know what would have let America down? Is that she would have got up there and did some shit and broke her neck. That would have been really shitty, right?
And then guess what? They would have been like, what a loser.
Right. I look back on, what's that girl? Strug?
Carrie Strug?
Right. And they crown her an American hero. And when you watch that back, I don't see a hero. I see somebody pressured into some shit for some other people.
Yeah. And it's okay to just walk. There's nothing worth it. There's nothing worth your own body insanity. There's nothing fucking worth it. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. And they'll sacrifice you whether they need to or not. Because she didn't even really need to do that last jump or that last flip. The U.S. was most likely probably definitely already on its way to the win.
Yeah.
Right. It was bragging rights and shit. And so if you let them, this capitalistic system that we live in, we have to understand that all of these things, all of the isms fall under this branch. Capitalism only works when it can grind and chew certain people up.
Mm-hmm. We happen to be those certain people a lot of the time, don't we?
Yeah. Because of who we are, because of the American caste system, like, you know, like it's like it don't exist here like it does in other places. You're small time, you're from poverty. You know what they say, you got to work 2 and 3 times harder. You're a woman, yep. You got to work 2 and 3 times harder. You're a black person. For what? Where I got to work 2 and 3 times harder for? Exactly.
To be noticed. To be noticed.
And that's why I always talk about black mediocrity.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with it.
TM. Trademark. Hashtag black mediocrity. We will achieve true equality when I can do half the work and still get all of the praise, just like your mediocre white men. I don't want to do half, double the work. Mm-mm. I don't want to do 3 times the work.
Mm-mm. Neither do
how
I.
How about you?
I'm tired.
How about you? Yeah, I'm tired. How about you take what I got? And what I got is my best. What I got is excellence, but you want to qualify it. You want to put it in a box. You want to make me do it 2 and 3 more times. You want to fucking, what was
they? You want 300% and no right. one has it.
What was they? They was already telling Simone Biles, we're not even going to grade you properly.
I heard about that. Yeah.
You know, like, what you fuck? Do is too hard. Nobody else can do it. So we're already just going to knock some points off of your shit.
Because you're too good.
Because you're what too good.
What the fuck,
so
man.
What the fuck I'm about to go out here for?
Who am I proving this to?
Yeah, and break my neck for what? I'm already the goat. She put it on her suits, on her jumpsuits and shit.
Yeah.
She's already the goat. You already know it.
I
don't got to do the flip. And if more people just walked away, you understand the power. Like, that's like what a strike is.
Yeah.
That's what a boycott is. Mm-hmm. We just all collectively not going to do this shit no more.
No, and it's beautiful to see. It is. Boomers are losing their fucking shit right now because they're like, no one wants to work anymore. That's not fucking true, man. No, that's not fucking true.
No, I definitely want to do something with my day. I want to work. I want to do something with my day. I also am not going to do that shit for $15. I went for an interview the other day.
Well, I'm making somebody else rich. Always, yeah, always been making somebody else rich. And then they'll just fire me. Like, that's just because they don't understand why I'm using a spreadsheet or my face looks fucking weird when I'm hyper focused. Go eat your own ass. Like, I'm working my ass off. That's why I have that face, dickhole.
I'm hyper expressive. Have you heard that?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Have you heard hyper expressive?
I have.
Sorry, I don't got a filter between my brain and your bullshit.
Yeah. And you know what? If I have to go back to work on site and I have to wear a mask, it's probably going to save my fucking life in so many ways.
Yeah.
Because you won't see my bitch face anymore. But like, that's the thing. Here's what's going on. So there was a study right before the pandemic. It was in Forbes. This is before the pandemic. This is in October 2019, right? And they said that mental health is the leading cause for why people are quitting their jobs. 50% millennials, 75% of Gen Zers that quit their job due to issues related to mental health. We're figuring it out. We're figuring it out.
And walk off that shit.
I love it.
You know what else? Walk off that shit and also trust the universe. Because a lot of times I'm going to walk off this job. And do I got a plan for tomorrow? No. But are you going to stress me today? Also, no. I will leave.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the other thing, too, is depending on where you live or depending on the company you're working for and who your boss is, most of them don't give a fuck about mental health days. And yeah. Call in a mental health day is basically like calling in and saying, hey, I'm not really sick. Do I have to come in to them? And of course, they're going to say, yeah, come in. You got to come in to get paid. You fuck. Like, they don't care.
I mean, and this is also, like, again, a matter of class, because if you got a white collar type job or you got some sort of cushy desk shit, you know what I'm saying?
It's a little easier to call out. It is a little easier to call out.
It's a little easier. People give you a little more leeway than
working retail, though. You get your ass fired. You work in food service. You get your ass fired.
Nope. Next, we hiring somebody else before the day's out.
Yep. You're out. Mental health day? Jesus Christ. No, you don't even get insurance. You don't even get fucking you don't even get minimum wage as a fucking server. Fuck. It's not worth it. And
yeah. I want to say as a blanket statement, because sure. I understand that there are some people that walking off their job means immediate negative consequences for you and people who depend on you. But the other thing I'm saying is this extends out to past your job. If the motherfucking shit ain't serving you, drop it.
Yeah.
If that romantic partner, if that loved one, if that family member does nothing but sow negativity, stop giving it energy. Drop it. If you need a social media break because there's some, you don't need that, drop it. If it's causing anything. You problems.
You don't need anything.
No, you don't need anything. Just go ahead and move to the motherfucking woods. Sell it all. Move to the motherfucking woods. Now. You know what?
I can't. I'm not. I can't do that. I can't do that.
No, okay. I'm just saying, if you have the opportunity to sell it all and move to the motherfucking woods, go ahead.
You know what occurred to me when you were saying that? Excuse me, as you were talking about how it is a luxury to be able to quit your job. It's, but you know, you don't have if you don't have any kids, it's easier. But I think I understand these numbers now. So it was 50% of millennials and
well, millennials don't
75%.
Have kids.
Exactly. We stopped having kids. That's why we can focus on our mental health and quit jobs that don't suit us. That's the advantage that we have.
That's a good that's a good conclusion. Yeah. We don't gotta pour energy into a tiny human being. And so we can think about ourselves and yeah. Oh man, this is an excellent
example. Like
this is mouth do the things. This is an excellent example of hashtag fuck them kids.
Don't fuck them kids. No, but like seriously, like
fuck the kids. Worry about your own mental health.
I always used to hear my mom talk about, "Oh, we did it for you kids. You know, we stayed together for you kids, or we did it for you kids. We stayed in this area. Blah blah blah. We went to this school for you kids." And it's like, what if you didn't have that? Not to say go kill your kids, but like,
oh no, please nobody.
If you don't have kids, you understand what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah, please nobody
have that. Freedom almost.
We're not saying kill your kids. If you already got them, please
keep them, love them, treat please them better than you were treated.
Yeah, love them, treat them better than you were treated. And please try to find ways to make room and time for your mental health and also
and while
making room and time for your kids. And please care about their mental health because I see the ways that my mom cared for me. Look, I say this. I didn't understand or experience or live poverty until an adult. And that's also what a lot of millennials say. Like, I had it made as a kid, as a teen, as a young adult. But when I was stepped out on my own, a bitch never recovered.
yeah.
So I've been in poverty most of my adult life. But as far as being a kid, I had the game system for everybody had it.
Oh, yeah.
I had all the toys. I had an electric scooter. I had the Razor scooter for anyone who had a Razor scooter. And then I had the electric Razor scooter before anybody had that. You know, I had.
But then you also had the child abuse.
But then there was also child abuse.
I had a Nintendo Power set, but I also had the child abuse.
Yeah. Yeah. There was also sleeping in the bathtub.
Exactly.
There was also sleeping with no sheets because she just took them. She just took them.
She's fun.
The bed. She has to give me a bed. She has to give me a roof. She doesn't have to supply me with the sheets. Or she has to provide me food. But it doesn't
have
to be good.
If you're hearing this and this sounds good to you for raising a child, don't do it. So I want to talk about, I found this article on Fairy God Boss. And
it's Fairy God Boss.
Fairy God Boss. And it's talking about here's how you know if it's time to quit. So I want to give you, I want to go through these a little bit too, because I feel like if you feel them, mark them off. And if you can mark these things off, you can actually see them. Oh, is this happening to me?
So like when it's time to maybe like quit a situation or
exactly.
quit a person or quit a job or something is what you're saying?
Yes. So here's kind of a checklist for you.
Okay. When to walk away, fam? That's all another right. way to say it. Would you say walk away? It's not quitting.
Walk
you
away.
Just walk away.
All right. You're experiencing cognitive dysfunction. We were talking about that earlier. And that's like
the brain fog.
The brain fog, the twisties. Uh-huh. These are cognitive dysfunctions. It's when you grab for something and you miss it. Like shit like that. Or you fuck up on your parking. Maybe your fucking peripherals fucked.
Right.
Like,
you can't remember your own phone number or your own password.
Exactly. And yeah, okay. We did talk about brain fog in the last episode. So if you have not heard that, we talk about how to actually fix your brain fog. Anyway. So this can cause you to make more errors. Yeah. This can cause you to be more distracted and more stressed out. You're going to get even more stressed out.
Yeah. There's been times where I walk into the room, forget what I walked in there for, remembered it, walk back in the room, forget what I walked in there for, walk out, remember. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, like,
yeah. It happens to me a lot when I'm like under pressure and then everything kind of shuts down. And then I make that face that people complain about. And then I just, walk around going, what was I doing? And then I'm just, it's awful. It's fucking awful. Mm-hmm. So another what one else? is you're so exhausted by your job that it leaves you unable to enjoy time with your family and friends. So you come home and you just want to cry. You come home, you just want to vent. You're fucking taking it out on people. You're snapping at people. Oh boy. Yeah.
Not just your job. You go deal with your boyfriend and then you come home and you're all fucked up.
It's all you can talk about.
It's all you can think about. It's all you can talk about. You come home from dealing with your parents, your mom, your dad, and it's just like that was an awful experience, and you feel
you have to physically and mentally recover from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's yeah. Okay. Okay. I got that one.
All right. Number three is you've lost interest in hobbies and activities that you enjoy. It just sounds like depression. Really, you're too tired.
You're depressed from a situation. A situation is causing this. After dealing with this or knowing you're going to deal with this, or, you know, like for me, there was a comedy club I used to like going to that when I would go there and know that certain things were going to be happening, I just couldn't enjoy it anymore.
Yeah, I got it.
So, yeah, it's just a general feeling of depression around.
Takes over your body, takes over everything.
Okay.
And you're not sleeping. So that's another number four is you're not sleeping well. Maybe you are sleeping okay, but maybe you're oversleeping or maybe you're undersleeping or you're insomnia, like any disturbance and weirdness that's going on. Like you really hate your job, but you keep sleeping through your alarm.
Yeah.
Dude, that's
changes in sleep patterns are always a little something to watch out for. You come from dealing with a certain situation and now it's a restless night, or you come from dealing with a certain situation and you just have a hard time waking up the next day.
Yeah. So your body's trying to tell you something.
Your body's trying to tell you that this person, this situation, this job, this class, whatever. Is this
Olympic event?
It's tiring. Yeah, it's tiring you out.
Yeah,
on a level you're not conscious of.
Yes, that's the other thing too. And then the next one is you stop caring about your performance. So maybe you purposely leave a little bit later because you're like, "Fuck, man, just fucking fire me then. Just fucking do it. Just get it fucking over with."
Yeah.
And whether or not you realize you're doing it or not, you've noticed that you're making more mistakes and you notice you're being a little more careless with your breaks.
Definitely in a relationship, right? You know, you're not listening to the other person no more. You're not putting in as much effort no more. And there's no fire behind it, and you don't feel when someone mentions it, you don't feel bad. It's just a general sense of apathy about the situation, about that person, about that job, whatever. Yeah,
it's like when I worked in aerospace, and every hour I get up and go to the bathroom for half an hour.
Yeah. Just like,
and I just didn't care. I didn't care.
Yeah. Just general apathy about the situation. I get that. Okay. What's next?
The next one is, so not only have you stopped caring about your performance, number six is, conversely, you can't figure out how to care less. Because not only are you trying to escape it and want to be put out of your fucking misery, but you can't deny that you're still working your fucking guts out for a place, an environment that you fucking hate.
Oh,
and
man.
You don't want to fail. You still don't want to fail.
I see all these parallels in my previous relationship, right? Where it's like, where it's like, I kind of know in my mind this ain't working. Mm-hmm. I kind of know it's tiring me out, it's causing me stress, but also I don't feel like I can or I should quit, you know? Yeah. And I want to back out of this, but I can't. I keep trying. I keep caring.
Yeah. The next one is, your self-esteem has dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked in some places and that suddenly maybe even the environment changed, maybe the culture changed, but suddenly it seems like everybody fucking hates you all of a sudden, even if they don't, it just kind of feels like everyone hates you. And it can be a really like,
everyone hates the environment. And so you feel the environment of hate.
Yes, yes.
You feel that environment of discomfort.
You're not wrong for feeling what you feel, but it's not exactly, it's not you.
It's not always you. It's not. Once you realize it ain't always you, you will be freed from so fucking much.
I've worked at places where after somebody got fired, suddenly it was a good place to work.
Right.
And vice versa. Right. You know, somebody got fired and then they brought in a new boss that fucking was awful.
Yeah.
You know, and it fucking happens.
Sometimes it's not you. It's just a shift in the energy.
Exactly. And maybe you're not the right energy anymore. And that's a fucking unfortunate, but you gotta call it sometimes for your own sanity. And the other one is you fantasize about being fired. Okay. That's the final one. I have been there.
Yeah.
I have been because part of it is because now I know, like, and it, I learned it the first time I was fired is that, you get unemployment when they fire you. And because I've never been fired for anything, a real cause. It's always just been like, hey, this isn't working out. Or, hey, it's a layoff. Hey, it's 2009 and there's a fucking recession. There's always been a reason why I've been fired. But it's always been vague like that. So I've always been able to collect unemployment. So let them fire you.
Yeah. I fantasize about getting fired because I'm fantasizing about how I'm going to tell everybody to eat my ass.
That's fun, too. And, but yeah, once you start going, it's kind of like when I was really depressed, I was like, and walking across the street, I'd be like, fucking hit me, cars. Just fucking I fucking dare.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's the same. It's like you're saying, you're liking it to depression. It's the same thing.
So yeah, you fantasize about fucking just ending it, however it is, whatever that means. So the questions are here, is how do I resign or take time off for mental health reasons? You know, you can look up some things online, where they'll give you a basic template of how to quit your job,
what to say, or how to write that letter, whatever, exactly. However the manner is you want to do it.
Especially if the place doesn't work out, but you want to keep them as say a reference, like maybe you were there for a while or it's work that you want to continue in, and you don't want to necessarily burn the bridge. A nice letter is always good. A nice letter and a 2-week notice, but most places are like, oh, you know what? You don't have to work your two weeks anyway. That happens to me a lot.
Yeah, I've done that a bunch.
That just actually proves that you're not worth anything when they do that.
The last two times, not the last two times, but like maybe last recently, I've given a 2-week notice and I was just like, oh no, you can go.
It's okay. Yeah. Just share me on this file or whatever and show me where you where you put all that stack of papers.
Where you left off at.
Yeah. And then you can go. And nothing will make you feel even worse than that because it's just like, you don't want me to stay and train the new person? You don't want me to?
Not at all.
Then again, I also hate having to stay and train the new person too because then they ask you why you're leaving. And you're like, because this place is hell.
Have fun.
little did I know, I was looking up some resource, another resource here, is there's the FMLA. It's the Family Medical Leave Act of 1993. So it's a law that protects you on the job if you need to take off for mental medical needs. So usually, traditionally, FMLA is for care of the spouse, child, or parent, right? But it can apply to your own mental health. There's some guidelines that you have to follow. You can look this up online. But basically, if you've worked at a company for at least 12 months, doesn't have to be consecutive, and you can give them a 30-day advance notice, you can request mental health time, up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave. But that doesn't mean you're going to necessarily wind up with the job that you had when you come back. That's the problem. And also, depending on the employer, even the employee sizes, like how many people they have working for them, they may or may not even accept it. It's like it only applies to the employers who have more than 50 employees.
That's kind of trash.
Well, yeah. So if you work at a diner, you can't.
It's not 50 people there.
Yeah, no, you're fucked. So again, it's 12 weeks of unpaid leave, but you get to keep your health insurance. So that's actually super important, because especially if you're doing mental health leave, you're going to want your therapist still.
Folks, go Google that. Go Google that. So
look
that.
Up the FMLA.
Yeah, and see if that protects you.
And see if it applies. Yeah.
See if that protects you, folks. Yeah. So, you know, speaking of knowing when to quit, I think we're coming around to the end of this.
Yeah, that was good. We got some stuff going on. It's not bad. We got some stuff
going on. Knowing when to quit. Corey, where can folks find you? Thanks for putting this together.
Of course. Well, you know, this one's a fun one. Corey Spencer, I'm on all the socials, and I got a book. I'm Not Okay, You're Not Okay. Please buy it so I can eat. Go to indiebound.org, type in your zip code, support your local bookstore, and I love you. How about you?
I love you. This was a good episode for me because, like, I have a problem with knowing when to quit, but it's not like I take too long. I give up too early. I'm like, nah, never mind.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah. That looks like a problem.
I'm kind of all or nothing, so I get that.
Yeah. I get that. So this was good for me. But you can find me on Twitter at Elsa, just Elsa, Elsa, just Elsa. and then find our podcast across the social meds. At Your Fine Podcast. YOURE Fine Pod.
Cool. Tell them about your project.
Oh yeah, my project. So we got a date possibly. October or November is maybe when this will be out. A little documentary about at Slavers of New York. The Slavers of New York is my little history guerrilla education project highlighting New York City's slave history through the streets and street names. Mm-hmm. of New York City. And we've been filming with MTV, so hopefully I'll got the Paramount Plus, I think, is where it's going to be. I don't know.
I got that.
Yeah, I get that. But also, if you like our podcast, then like our podcast. Rate it on the iTunes, on the Apple.
Please do. It'll make it easier for people to find us. And and if you like it, you like it, and we love you. Thank you.
Yeah, you know? So, Corey.
Yeah, what's up?
Are we ready to quit? We're ready to quit this.
Okay, I got Breaking Corey, Bad to watch. Jesse, we gotta cook!
Yeah, I got Chinese food to eat, so.
We gotta cook!
I love you much, Corey. You're fine.
I love you too. You're fine.
You're Fine is a production of Cinderblock Comedy in association with Sodabag Studios and Your Town is Next Media. Our show is engineered and produced by Alex Fleming and Alexander Scott. Special thanks to Morgan Pielli for our show artwork and to Intellectual Darkwave for our theme song from his album Labor Songs. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Your Fine Pod.
Nailed it. Put that in there. Sorry, I was stretching.